last time on the Wrong Heroes Order.
And when I get to the capital, and I don't think Marsh quite understands this yet, I'm going to escape.
Well, if you go, will you lie? Take me as well. Can I come?
Grizzle is like rubbing the temples of her mask that she's going to have like the blood of another child on her hands.
Exiles, they were like, all we want to be is with our dog.
What else did you hear?
There ain't no other like exile villages in like Tamala anymore.
That's so cool. Like fish aliens.
You eventually all finish up your week and get to the morning of the Frontier event. You are woken up as usual and you're asked to stay in your cells as Riven is going to come and give you a little bit of a pep talk before the morning begins. So as you are waiting there, Riven turns up in a even finer outfit than he has been before, maybe because it's the day of the event, so he wants to be wearing his best clothes. He's got this very beautiful ornate hat with feathers all over it and very bright, colourful silk clothes and like a fine black, like armour in a way, even though it's more for show than actual use. He comes against, I wanted to wish you all good luck today. Do not disappoint me. And most importantly, the Earl. We want glitz, glamour, showmanship, the works. Play up to the crowd. And,
yes,
exactly. No, and I mean no, one-hit kills. I'm looking at you, Grizzle. You may have got away with that last time, but folk here came for the show, not so much for the ending. Okay? So if you've got any questions now, I suggest you ask, because this is the last time we're going to see each other. Today. Maybe.
Maybe, yes, we could
die. You know, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
So yeah, any questions?
That's a likelihood.
No questions.
Okay. Well, good luck. I see you in the arena.
Yeah.
Bye.
So Riven leaves. Hey. And you are all...
Oh, Riven!
I just said yes, now questions, and now you're just so late. Why are you so slow?
Yeah, that's fine. No, about the... this stupid idiot girl.
Yes?
Is she still alive? Is she... are we going to do the bit?
Yeah, we're doing it, don't worry. Nothing's changed.
Okay. That's cool. Okay. I wasn't sure if she was dead.
Yes. Okay, I'm going now.
Bye.
Bye. Riven walks away. So you are taken out of the cells and put in the practice bits as usual to eat breakfast. You, as you sit down to the on the tables in the practice area, you can hear there's quite a lot of talk about from the guards being a change in schedule to the event, and mainly there's an additional match that's been added just before your Frontier match. So as the week progressed, you started to hear that the other prisoners, learning that you were being personally invited to a match, even though you've only been here for over 2 weeks, a lot of people are angry by this. You can hear a lot of talk of why are these newbies getting potentially head into the Grand Arena when I've been here for years. There's a lot of disgruntled talk between people. So you heard from Gray and from maybe some other people who are more, you know, inclined to be your friends, that a lot of the other prisoners had gone to the guard captain and to Neldro, the arena organizer, in person and requested that they get a match to themselves. Gray comes over to you, as you kind of know this, but she's come over to you as you normally would in the morning, and she's like, oh, like I've like heard things about like the gossip and stuff. Like I was talking to like my friend. And she was like, there were all like other people like demanding that they get a match and things. And like, why do they get like a special match? And we want a match and stuff. Because like, I've been here for months and I never get opportunities and stuff. Yeah, because like, but then they're going to have something called like a battle royal or like a battle royale or something. And it's like the last two people in it are going to go along with you to the Grand Arena. And I was like, no, because that's what I wanted. But I've already got a match and I can't go in it. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to have like this big thing where like there's like 15 people like can I like do it. And then like the last two people will like win and go, they really with you. How cool is that?
No, that is horrific.
What? What? Why?
Because that means 13 people are going to die.
Yeah, but that's like their choice. It's like...
But the two people...
It shouldn't have to be their choice.
Two, the two people that survived the Battle Royale, yeah. Are they joining us against the champion?
No, or... no. They're going to go with you to the Grand Arena. So they're like their new champions. And then like you, and then like if you win, you'll go with them. But you know, only if you win. Obviously, I mean, you might not win.
Yeah. So, Gray, did anyone, did Oliven or anybody talk to you about day that you're going to be coming?
Yeah. I'm gonna like dress up in like a stupid outfit, and then I'm gonna like hit you with a stick, like I've been practicing. And she starts smacking the table with her spoon. Like, well, yeah.
Well, not too hard, because you're just pretending, like martial right?
Art. Ruin everything. Smack.
This is a pretend match. Because, Gray, I need to be reasonably unharmed so that I don't die. Because I remember right after we do our little pretend fight, I have to do a real fight for my life.
Oh, pretend.
And I got you into this, I got you in with us, so please don't, you know, hit me on the head.
Oh, all right.
Too hard.
Okay. Yeah, so like practice, like pretend, yeah. Pretend hitting.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yes.
Like this, softer. Or like, pretend to hit hard. Like that?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm gonna be so good. Like, we're the first people out. That's so exciting. Can't wait.
This is my life.
Do we have a plan on how we're going to kill this person?
Right?
From what I've heard, they seem to be on fire.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. I heard about the fire thing. They think that it might be human, but he's like really big. So like a big fire human. And apparently, so you heard that he's like really big and strong, and so did I, but apparently he's also really, really fast.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Don't you just hate people who are just good at everything?
I know, it's like,
you know?
Pick Elaine.
Yeah.
We could distract it by grazing competence. Don't tell her I said that.
Doing what?
By it with Grey. So we get Grey out there and, like, tell her to dance around. And then we attack it from behind.
Well, I don't think Grey isn't coming into the champion fight with us.
Oh,
me and Grey are just doing, like, a little pre-show. Hey, what do you think about this? It could either result in his execution, or it could result in my execution. But what if I used my disguise self? And I made myself look like the Earl, so then he would have to beat up the Earl, and it wouldn't look good, because he wouldn't know what to do.
That's fantastic.
Yes, that would make you die.
It's going to look like I'm making fun of the Earl.
Yes, it's going to make... I think you'll get killed for that, but that's a good idea.
If it looks like I'm going to die anyway... That's last resort.
Yeah, because he can't beat up the Earl.
That's the last resort. Okay.
I you know, some people have different senses of humor that might not sit right with, you know, the upper classes.
I don't know. Doesn't look like he takes himself too seriously. Yes. Sarcasm.
Well, I think the audiences like your magic, so, you know, a bit of showmanship on that part.
Then I might need the magic just to sort of, you know, blast him. So,
yeah,
if it works.
I'm really bad at showing off. I don't know how to play up to the crowd, so this is on you, Raspberry.
No, we need you.
You got to make it look
this
good.
This is the thing, okay? Marsh is very loud, you know, and... I can do my sort of jump around, and I'm quite colorful and distracting. So, I mean, all you need to go do is get up behind him and just sort of shank him in the liver.
You know? Just stab, stab, stab. Yeah. Yeah.
You can sort of do a sneaky attack.
As long as you and Marsh are distracting.
Yeah, we get Marsh up in his face doing her thing where she's all loud and hitting him with a stick. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, let's go do it.
Yeah.
I don't think we're on yet. I just stood up, you know, when you stand up because you got energy.
I don't think we're going. Woo! I mean, yeah, I don't know how much of
I'm really nervous.
I don't really plan, so it's not really much of a plan.
No,
to
no.
Woo.
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 Woo. Is that what you're doing? We're doing like a woo thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everyone put their hands in the middle.
Okay, one, two, three. Pray for quick death.
What?
pray for quick death.
I love the fish. Jeremy.
Jeremy.
So the event doesn't start until the evening. It won't start until 8 p.m. at night. And you're currently at like 8 a.m. right now. So you've during that time, you would just have your normal day and you'll spend some time doing whatever. But the next part will be the lead up to the first hour of the event. So we're going to be doing something. The time comes when you are led, everyone is led into the holding area for the start of the evening's events. OB, the guard, along with the event organizer, Neldro, heads over to you. Neldro is a pale-skinned kogul with his kind of a light beige with yellow patches covering most of his skin. He's quite slim with fine clothes and he's wearing like this very quite a nicely ornate brown leather armor, which he's basically just picking out all the time, just like shifting around because it doesn't really fit him very well.
In honor of this special event, I have been instructed by the Earl of Tanuka and Rhythm to get you personally ready. Now, if you follow me, I will take you to the holding quarters. Something you'll be able to view the battle royale from there. This is a great honor, and you'll be representing the Tanuka Arena, and you should be behave as such.
So Neldro walks away, and Obi nudges you in his direction.
Time to move, criminal scum. Follow the Tanuka Arena organizer, Mr. Neldro.
So you're taken through a host of different corridors, each with their own bolted gate. Obi steps forward each time to unlock the passages forward. After a few minutes, you are led up a set of steep stairs into a long corridor. Neldro takes out a large set of keys from his pocket and unlocks a door to your right.
In you go!
This small dressing room is neatly laid out. Opposite the door is a large opening looking down onto the empty arena. You see the announcer in less formal attire practicing some of his opening speech as another kagul measures his arms, which flail about passionately as he recites his script. The room consists of a large bench with two small tables and two large wardrobes. On the table are tankards of what smells like alcohol and fresh bread, fresh fruit and fresh meat. Probably the first you've seen since entering into this arena.
The room is yours for the evening. As mentioned, you'll be able to view the battle royale from here. And with an organized some special attire for you this evening, you'll find this in the wardrobes. I have personally rummaged around what the Wizard has offered and set out an outfit for you each. Take off those dirty rags and clean yourselves up. There's a washroom to the left there. Hot water has already been provided. I'll be back about 30 minutes before the start of the event to check that you've done as asked. And then Obi will escort you down to the entrance. If you need assistance, Obi will be stationed out the door at all times. So good luck and I'll see you again shortly.
Neldro leaves the room and Obi closes the door, locking it behind him.
This is really nice.
Look at that meat. That beef looks amazing.
I think I'm just going
back. Yeah, as we look at the beef.
It looks so lovely. Oh my goodness, look at that. Wow. And oranges. They're my favourite.
Yeah, he's going to go to the wardrobe.
There's three outfits on hangers. Tertia, you have a new red and black light leather armor emblazoned with the symbol of Tanaka Arenas. Even a new mask. And it has a scary dragon-like face. With then you have new braces and boots, still matching red and black. And then a short black cloak to cover yourself with.
Oh, they thought of everything.
Raspberry, you have also a new red and black light armor, chest plate, braces and boots with a red and white jester's cloth outfit to go underneath. A lot less obvious than the one you've got now, which is obviously covered in doilies and bells and things. And then a large brimmed white hat. Marsh, there is a red and black robes, perfect for a monk like as yourself, with fine black slippers and a silver cord to wrap around the braid in your hair.
Nice.
So these are all brand new. Like I said, they're all red and black. They're all very, very nice.
I put it on. This is super nice.
So the special thing about this armor, these clothes that you're wearing, is they all have a single charge, a magical charge to them. When you activate it, you get 10 temporary hit points.
Oh, that doesn't fill me with a great deal of confidence because it suggests that we will need those temporary hit points.
No.
So when we activate them...
It's kind of like a shield.
We get the extra 10.
Imagine it as rather than hit points as like 10 magical shield points that once you go down, you'll start hitting your actual hit points.
Okay.
So you just want to keep us alive for a little longer so the show goes on. No one hit kills.
I'll go and put on the outfit and go get washed up out of sight of the other two so they don't see my face.
This is probably the first time... I mean, there's a mirror in there as well. I mean...
Oh, God, it's the first time I've seen my ragged face just rapidly aged from stress. Don't like it. Put on my mask again.
Marsh is so excited to have new clothes. And she's like, just already trying it on, smelling it, that smell of new, fresh clothes that don't stink of death. Just loving it.
Raspberry's doing much the same, and he's sort of just... Yeah, he's stuffing his face with bread just and fruit. He's just like, this is it. It's probably my last, the last chance. He'll do the same thing where he'll do prestidigitation on some of the bread so that it tastes like cake and throw it to Marsh and be like, yeah, you know, we don't, yeah. I'm not waiting for fucking cake. We'll eat cake. Even if we die tonight. He's like, huh. But as he eats it, it's raspberry. His stomach is not settled. He doesn't think he's going to keep it down.
Probably a con save.
Like, yeah. You know, he's got a nervy. I have a nervy tummy.
So the arena opens up. You see people coming in. Welcome, one and all, to the Tanaka Arena, where flesh meets steel, where brain meets floor. This evening, gentlefolk, we will show you the horrors of the Frontier Special Event. Two teams will enter. The contenders you may know as the Fool Raspberry, the Child Wonder Marsh, and the Masked Killer Grizzle. But stay your applause for a moment, gentlefolk, for as you know, we have a special guest tonight, straight from the Kagal Arena. He is the legendary warrior who worked their way up to become the most deadly and feared one-man wrecking machine. He is Goto Onita! The crowd start to applaud and cheer even at the sound of his name. But first, gentlefolk of Tanaka, we must welcome another very special guest, our benefactor and arena patron. Please welcome Lord Uptrice, Earl of Tanaka. The crowd applaud and cheer at the sound of his name. Lord Uptrice stands from his balcony position, completely opposite to you, in a booth in the top of the stands. He waves to the crowd below and glances over towards you all. He smiles, then nods, as he sits down on his large, lavish, golden seat. So this is when Raspberry and Grey are going to enter. So this is obviously nothing I had planned for. So you're going to have to lead this one, Ben. So go for it.
Yeah. Raspberry is just like... Okay, so he, you know, we do the thing where... So Grey is out there first. She comes out sweeping with a broom, you know, as if she's sweeping the arena and everyone's a bit, you know, confused. Oh, what's going on here, you know? And Raspberry will sort of run out. You know, I'm late for a very important date. And he's holding his hat down on his head and he's, you know, oh, kind of looking at the crowd. And
as you run into the arena, the announcer's like, oh, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we have a jester. What are you doing here? This is not your time. And then you hear Grey at the bottom go like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be in here right now. Looking around.
It's all very panto.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I've come here to fight the champion, to prove my prowess.
But it's not your turn yet.
But I am Raspberry. I am the greatest champion that the arena has ever seen.
No, you're not. And the crowd go, no, you're not.
But look at my amazing battle armor.
Grabs a broom and starts smacking you very gently on the side. Oh. Get out of here, you.
Yeah, and the arse, oh no. And yeah, he's sort of holding his bum. Like, oh no.
She grabs her bristles and she's just like bristling you in the back, in the butt.
Yeah, as Raspberry's swept off stage. And yes, hopefully it went down well.
Now that's what I call entertainment.
The event starts with three matches are here to warm up the crowd, one after the other. The first match of the evening starts with four unknown competitors to you. As you can see, you're in the balcony, you can watch this directly. Two scalish males face off against two imp warriors, both decked out in very fine leather armors and weapons. It appears that the crowd are aware of them as they join in dueling chants of, let's go bruisers. And then the opposing chant would be Anacondas. Both sides fight with great skill, neither one getting the upper hand for quite some time. The match is quite entertaining, not really a bloody match, but one with fast-paced movements and talent. Eventually, the two imp warriors take the victory as the Anacondas, the two scalish males, lay down their weapons in defeat. As the crowd cheer for the opening match, both teams are led away. Match two. The next event is a standard team versus monstrosity. It looks as though the human, you would know as Roman, the victor of the last mayhem match a week prior, is teaming up with two weak-looking imps, Cthu and Gango. As the prisoners head into the arena, both of the imps look visibly terrified. Their weapons are shaking in their small, frail hands as Rowan appears quite stoic, almost not present. He picks up a small shield and spear and stands at the ready, as though he believes his time is already at an end, as maybe his foresight was all that was keeping him steady. As the announcer beacons their competition, he describes a strange creature unlike anything you've seen or heard of before. He describes it as a special exchange from the Kangal arena to the east of Tamal.
Let me introduce to you the Miasma!
As you watch intently on the portcullis to rise, it stays closed, and then a few moments pass as a blue, electrified tinged smoke floods into the ring. The crowd start to shout in fear of the arena being possibly on fire. But the announcer quickly placates any fears by stating that this is the Miasma. Rowan and the others back up, their heads darting from corner to corner, trying desperately to discover the illusion in front of them. However, as the blue electrified smoke pervades the arena floor, sparks and crackles covering the surface, Rowan dives forward, stabbing at the air around him. The two imps drop their weapons and run panically towards the portcullis, begging for their release. Large, smoky-like tendrils rise from the center wrestling Rowan to the ground as they launch him into the air, his shield still clinging to his arm. Rowan hits the ground with a loud thud, and the two imps receive the same treatment as they're flung from corner to corner, smashing into the hard stone walls. The crowd seems shocked and terrified at this unknown creature tearing through its victims. After only a few minutes, Rowan and the two imps lay defeated on the dusty floor. The announcer calls for the end of the match as he tries but fails to spark a reaction from the crowd. The smoke leaks out through the portcullis behind it, and a group of Kaggle guards drag away the corpses of its latest victims. The announcer swiftly moves on to the last event before the Battle Royale starts. This simple comedy match seems to get the crowd back to a state of cheering and enjoyment. What is a first for you is seeing Grey in her first matchup, and she's teaming up with Zufum, another imp. The arena has dressed both Grey and Zufum in comedically large helmets and oversized weapons. The announcer calls for their opponents, and as you see a pack of four weird, mutated-looking emus, which are called Tallow. Their bodies are large and round, and their heads are strangely flat and bulbous. It appears that the arena has attached spiked collars and bodices to these man-sized abominations. The match gets underway, and Grey and Zufum try their best to swing these mighty weapons. The crowd cheer and laugh as three Tallow rush towards Zufum, knocking the yellow imp prone to the ground. She shouts and swears as the Tallow peck at her body. The crowd burst into tears of laughter. As fast as she can, Grey rushes over, slowly raising the giant sword above her head as a burly-looking Tallow steps up behind Grey and pulls the sword backwards. Grey falls to her back from the sheer weight of her armour, and the crowd start to cheer and laugh endlessly. Grey rolls backwards, her large helmet falling to the ground, and she grabs the sword with two hands, holding the guard, holding it like the spear she did with Marsh, even though Marsh told her not to. And dives at the Tallow. It pierces through the creature and they both collapse to the ground. Zufum manages to crawl away as the other Tallow hurry towards their fallen brethren. Zufum follows suit and skewers another, and then the other Tallow starts wildly kicking the air, which catches Zufum across the front as she's launched across the arena, hitting the stone wall. Grey rolls through the massive Tallow, still clutching at her huge sword. And then two of the creatures dive towards her as she lays on the ground. Grey closes her eyes, Tallow trip over one another, and both end up kebabbing themselves on the raised sword. Grey opens her eyes as these strange birds start to slide down the sword onto her small frame. The announcer, in tears himself, calls for the winners of the match, Grey and Zufum. Two Kaggle guards run out of the arena to free Grey from the Tallow bodies, now crushing her. And they're both taken out of the arena as the crowd stand up and cheer the victors of a very entertaining match.
Whereas we'll stand up in the box and, you know, hey!
Aww. Yeah. We all clap for her.
The arena goes into an intermission as a platform for the next two events is brought in piece by piece and assembled in the center of the arena. Then a small metal cage is constructed around the ring. After 15 minutes, the arena is full again, and the announcer calls for the start of the next match.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have our first special event, the Tanuka Battle Royale!
The crowd are still buzzing from the previous event, and they start cheer loudly and stomping their feet at the same time.
Two contestants will enter the arena and into the cage. After 30 seconds, another competitor will enter. If a competitor is thrown outside the confines of the ring, they are out of the match. If a competitor is killed, they are also out. The last two survivors in the cage will win. Each of our 15 competitors have been given a number from 1 to 15. When their number is called, they will enter the arena. And now, give our first contenders a round of applause. Numbers 1 and 2. They are Sini, the Owl Folk Wonder, and the mysterious miner Brigham.
The crowd cheer and applaud as Sini and Brigham both walk out of the portcullis and step into the caged ring in the centre of the arena. The old Duragar Brigham looks hard-faced and angry as he rolls up his sleeves of his tunic. Sini looks nervous. He picks up the bristling feathers that cover his arms. And two guards stand outside of the cage, which is opened as Sini and Brigham approach. Both competitors head to opposite sides of the ring and wait for the announcer to call for the start.
Who will come out victorious?
What duo will be crowned champions of the Battle Royale? Start the match! The crowd bursts into cheers, and Brigham starts to slowly pace around the ring, keeping his eyes locked onto Sini. Sini closes his eyes for a few moments as Brigham stares at him. What are you doing? Do you want to die? Sini replies.
Please, father, forgive me. Father, listen, boy, I'm not your father.
As Sini opens his eyes, they glow a brilliant blue, visible even from the balconies. He releases from his static pose and collides with Brigham, his talons outstretched. With punch after kick, Sini demonstrates his awe-inspiring martial art prowess. Brigham tries to block as his arms and body are torn to pieces. The crowd are in awe of the owl folk's talents in fighting. As the announcer calls for a 5-second count, the crowd join in as Kakur, the merfolk from Marsh's previous match, walks into the ring. Her gaze is strong as she ties her long tendril-like dreads into a pony. She steps into the ring as Sini stares her straight down the line. He slightly steps to the side and charges towards Kakur, his winged arms outstretched. He tries to feint to the right and swings his mighty talons. Kakur sidesteps and ducks as Sini spins and tries to catch her off guard with a strike into the sternum. Kakur grabs his leg and pushes upwards. Sini loses balance and slightly glides backwards. The crowd applaud this as Kakur raises her fists and throws punch after punch. A few connect, but Sini is too fast. He ducks and dives around Kakur, also catching a few strikes that pierce her iridescent blue skin. This continues as the two match each other attack for attack. The announcer starts to count down to 5 as Urge, another merfolk warrior, runs into the ring to help his friend. He dives into the ring and tackles Sini to the ground. He beats down the owl folk viciously as Kakur pulls him off as they argue in the center. Sini takes advantage of this, sweep kicking them both as they fall to the ground. One after another, more and more participants are brought into the ring and leave. In a moment of amazement, Sini has taken out 5 competitors at this point. You will see his tired body giving way as he hurls another merfolk clear over the cage walls, landing into the crowd, who start to scream and run as the scared and hurt arm is taken down by the guards who rush into the stands. Kakur and Vane, a scalish female warrior, wrestle down to the ground. Vane, with her large crocodile muzzle, edges closer to the beautiful face of Kakur. She squirms and wriggles, trying to break free from this monstrous visage of Vane. She pulls up her long legs and wraps them around the neck of Vane, trapping her outstretched arm. Vane tries, but fails to pull out. These two fierce warriors tussle as Kakur squeezes tighter and tighter. Eventually, Vane loses the will to fight and succumbs. She breathes the last breath as Kakur loosens her grip.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the odds to win Supreme Bringer of Destruction comes to the ring. The formidable, the fearsome, handicap fighting champion, Taurus, the scalish marvel.
Kakur, Sini, Vane, and Val back away as the incoming scalish marvel, Taurus, a 7'5" dark brown scalish warrior, heavily steps into the ring. Her bulging muscles dent the sides of the cage as she slams her way through the opening. The others look tired, beaten, and now scared. Vane, the dark blue scalish competitor, eases forwards towards Taurus.
We can do it together, sister. For this scalish race, we could win together.
Taurus looks down onto the cowering Vane. She turns to Kakur and points. Her large crocodile visage lowers and smiles. She picks up Vane off the ground. He wriggles trying to break free, but with an almighty throw, Vane is launched across the ring towards Kakur, who dodges out of the way just in time. Vane soars through the air as he crashes into the steel cage, breaking through the metal structure and colliding with the arena wall. The crowd are shocked by this display of strength, and so are the others in the ring. Sini runs and bounces off the steel cage, momentarily flapping his short arm wings to gain more height, then plunges towards Taurus, catching her across the shoulder with his sharp talons. Taurus instantly retaliates, grabbing him by the arm and swinging him into the cage. Sini manages to take out his momentum by almost running across the cage walls, gaining enough speed to spin Taurus around. She loses balance and tumbles to the ring floor with a massive crash. Kakur and Val start to beat and kick the scalish monster, but she tries to fight back, but is quickly overwhelmed by the number of fighters surrounding her. You start to hear 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And our last entrant, the lucky and final scalish to enter the battle royale, the unparalleled master of the wrestling match, Atya!
Actually, the dark green scalish female stops before getting to the ring and looks upwards towards your balcony. She pauses for a second before running to the ring. She dives through the open door and instantly attacks Kakur. They tussle on the ground as Valencini becomes swamped by Taurus as she beats him into the cage side. Attack after attack, Val and Cini start to lose the power to fight back. Val attempts to take out the heavy legs of Taurus and forces her down to one knee. Cini performs spin kick after kick, combo after combo, and Taurus pushes her back to her feet and tries to tackle Cini, who instantly jumps out of the way, but it's not enough. As Tini crashes through the steel cage walls, Cini's leg gets caught by the giant grip of this scalish monster. They're both propelled into the cage and break through it. Taurus lands on top of Cini, who breaks on impact. The blue light leaves his eyes as Taurus is knocked unconscious. The Kaggles that surround the ring dash over, trying to pull the lifeless body of Cini and the knocked out Taurus out of the arena. The crowd are stunned and amazed by this display. The announcer passionately calls for their exits.
Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? In this colossal upset, Taurus is taking herself out of the ring. But now we are down to our final three contenders. Who will come out victorious?
Val rises to her feet as Kakur and Atia continue to struggle, matching strike for strike. The crowd cheer and shout for blood. Val stops for a second to catch her breath and then quickly grabs Kakur by the tendril dreads and pulls her to the ground. Atia, now covered in bruises, cuts, looks deep in the eyes of Val. As for a moment, they can see their freedom.
Not long now, sister.
Val nods as you see from behind, Kakura as sharply rose to her feet. With Val's back turned, and in the split second after Atia finishes talking, a strange iridescent purple blade penetrates through the back and out of Val's chest. She coughs blood as Atia screams. Val drops to the ground as Kakura pulls her arm from the body of Val, her arm then reforming back to normal. The crowds stand and cheer as the final two competitors stand victorious in the center of the ring. Atia falls to the ground, clutching her sister in her arms. She cries and wails as Val smiles and then fades away. Broken and bruised, Kakur slowly walks to the opening of the cage. Two guards stand, waiting to take them out. As she gets to the steps that lead down onto the arena floor, sprinting from Val's now lifeless body, Atia collides with Kakur, both of them falling to the ground. The two guards knocked to the side as this massive scalish warrior unleashes her wrath. She grabs Kakur by the face, smashing it hard into the stone floor, screaming at the top of their lungs, "You killed her! You killed my family! You fucking killed her!" The two guards quickly get to their feet, dragging Atia from Kakur. She continues to scream as she's hauled out of the arena. From the portcullis, two other guards run in and pull Kakur out, picking up the unconscious merfolk champion.
Well, there you have it! What an event! I'm as shocked and astonished as you, ladies and gentlemen, but please give our champions another round of applause for their valiant effort this evening. We will be taking a short intermission. Please, fire refreshments in the lobby. We will be back shortly, ladies and gentlemen, for the main event, the Frontier Match!
Battle Royale ends. You see the crowd of the Kaggles start to disperse as they leave to relieve themselves and to purchase sweet refreshments. The door knocks to your dressing room.
When you get prepared to leave, the arena organiser Neldro will be here very shortly.
You hear Obi from outside. Neldro eventually comes to the door and walks in. He looks quite excited.
Well, look at you. I did a fantastic job at these outfits. You look almost professional. Well, what an event so far. Could you believe the drama, the passion, the horror? Oh, what? You have a lot to live up to. So do not disappoint. But any last-minute questions before I take you down? Okay.
As you're led down the stairs and through a small set of corridors that leads to the entrance way into the arena, you can hear the swell of the crowd as the announcer calls out to all the patrons.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, for we're about to start tonight's star event. All the way from Kaggle Arena, we are presenting you a special event indeed. One that will shape the futures of the participants within for a lifetime. The Frontier Match will pit three of Tanaka Arena's newest favourites against the unstoppable force, the champion of the Kaggle Arena.
Neldro looks at you all, patting Grizzle on the shoulder.
We believe in you now. Now go to the portcullis and wait.
as you head to the gate, you see through the gaps in the steel frame. You don't really know what the actual event looks like because you didn't see it get set up. So as you head to the gate, you see through the gaps in the steel frame, the bloodied ring now encased with thick strands of barbed wire.
Please welcome our very own champions, the Mage Raspberry, the Child Wonder, Marsh, and the Masked Killer, Grizzle!
At this point, the gate rises and you hear the crowd soar with cheers and shouts.
Grizzle is going to, unlike her, really put on a show, just like start waving and like just like doing like poses, like scary poses, and just sort of really bigging up her presence.
Rosemary's going to try and go out last. So he's going to be like, come, Marsh, come.
Marsh is really proud of her new amazing attire. So like it's kind of like marches in with like an air of arrogance about her, like, yes, I know, I'm amazing, I know. And like just kind of like brushing off her shoulders and kind of like giving like kind of like a mysterious look into the audience, keeping them guessing.
And then Raspberry is going to, first of all, coming out of the little tunnel will be a floating little pink glowing hand carrying a bunch of raspberries will just come out. And then Raspberry, as he mage hands them across, Raspberry's going to like stumble out as if he tries to like grab for the raspberries, and then the hand lifts them up out of his view and he falls on his face, and then the crowd titters, and then he gets up and almost reaches the raspberries and he's about to grab them, and then the hand just throws them up into the air and disappears, and then they splat, and when they splat on the ground, Raspberry jumps up and gives like a, you know, oh, puts his, you know, a shrug, like, oh, what are you going to do? And then sparks fly out of his hands, and then a big raspberry symbol, like, tss, like appears on his front, like a big sparkling raspberry symbol.
So as you step into the ring, you can see now the bloodied mess that the last four events have produced. The ring in the center has large pits dotted around evenly around the sides. Ahead of you are the steps that lead into this blood-stained, barbed-wired, covered ring. So as you step into the center of the ring, very carefully, going under the ropes, the barbed rope, so you don't cut yourself.
And now, dear fans, welcome the legendary, the undefeated, the Punisher. He is Goto Onita!
You see, opposite you, the large portcullis starts to rise as a giant 8-foot-tall humanoid steps out from the shadows, walking slowly to the ring ahead. Long black hair rests on the man's shoulders, a large belt of black and silver are tightly wrapped around his ample belly. A short, scraggly beard and dark eyes hide most of his facial features. Yellow and black braces, boots and trunks seem to be the only thing covering this gigantic human. So yeah, the crowd erupts in shouts, cheers and chants as he steps closer to the ring. You see him reaching below the ring as he sharply raises up his hands into the air. The pits dotted around the ring erupt into flames that shoot into the air as the crowd awe and cheer. He steps into the ring through the barbed wire ropes. Oh yeah, his hands light up in flames as the match is announced.
Who will be victorious? Who will be left standing? Begin the match!
The frontier event has started and claimed many lives along the way. Now it's up to our heroes to prove themselves against the undefeated Goto Onita. How will they fare in this brutal matchup? Find out in episode 7 of The Wrong Heroes Order.